Yo, Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm feeling good these days. I've
Feeling
been
lucky?
I've yeah, actually. I feel a little lucky, I
Yeah,
feel
what's going good in your life?
well, I'm getting in shape, taking care of my health. I've been juicing. I've been squeezing some green juice from organic
Nice.
sources.
Nice.
I've been doing lots of jogging. Getting in shape. I'm running a half marathon next week.
A
So,
half marathon.
yeah, I'm getting some sleep. I mean, I'm doing all right. Yeah. How about you? You feeling lucky?
Well, I kind of think a half marathon is a little bit is a little wimpy. Why half? I know you have a theory about why it's actually quite a lot of work. Maybe you could enlighten everybody.
What do you mean?
Well, I
You said it
remember you
was
once
when.
telling me that a half marathon is essentially the same as a full marathon.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, yeah, because I run so slowly. I mean, the world-class runners, they run a full marathon in 2 hours, and I run a half marathon in 2 hours. So we're both sort of exerting the same amount of energy, same amount of effort. So in essence, I'm running a full marathon, even though I'm running half marathon in terms of effort. You know what I mean? So
So by
like,
this logic, if
yeah.
I take 2 hours to walk from my bedroom to the sofa, I'm
Yeah.
pretty much a marathon runner as well.
Exactly. You're a marathon
It's
runner.
all about the time
That's right.
that you're exerting yourself. It's not really about how much you run.
No, but it's effort. I mean, come on. I'm struggling to run 2 hours, half marathon. It's a lot of pain and suffering. It feels good though. It does feel good, and
Yeah,
that's
you're
why I do
working
it.
hard, just like those Olympic athletes.
Yeah, and you don't give up because along the way you experience pain and you experience the desire to stop or the desire to quit, and you just got to let go of that and work through it. And yeah, it's a good exercise.
I
Yeah.
bet, there's some parallels with this story in the suffering that the temporary suffering that you go through when you're running. I bet you have to reframe that or just step outside of it
Oh, you totally do. Otherwise, you
and
can't get
not get
through it.
involved in
Oh,
it.
absolutely. You've got to just rise above it. Don't get caught in it, and see it as a temporary thing that you just got to put up with until you get to your goal.
So I
And
mean,
then when.
there's a lot of different ways you can interpret the way this farmer experienced so-called superficially good things
Yes.
and bad things or suffering.
Right.
I mean, one of those could be that he's just stepping outside of that framework of labeling what is good and what is bad,
Right.
which is something that farmers actually have to do in reality. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there are farmers that do get pulled into very real suffering of when there's a drought and there's
Right.
no rain and
Right.
their crops fail.
Right.
And they could lose their farm, or
Right.
the family could really suffer. I mean, I'm sure there are some stories where it's not so easy to just step outside of what's happening. But in general, I think the farmers deal with cycles of good and bad. When they're growing, they've got good seasons
Absolutely.
where and they've got harvests, and then they
Yeah.
have times of plenty and times of
Yeah, and
lean.
I think we all do. I mean, certainly farmers, maybe it's more extreme in terms of their livelihood, but yeah, we all go through that. And yeah, well, I think that ability to kind of be aware that something that initially seems bad could be good, and something that initially seems good could be actually negative. And that to me is the mark of wisdom. It's that ability to sort of be aware that your initial, labeling of, oh, that's great news. It's like, okay, it's great news on the surface, but it could be bad, and vice versa. I think that's a mark of wisdom.
right?
Yeah.
Or that there's both good and bad in everything.
Yes.
And which is the you know, this is a Taoist story, and we have the, right. the Taoist symbol of yin yang,
right.
which has the you know, the wave like black mm-hmm. and white moving in this secular pattern,
mm-hmm.
which and within the black there's a little spot of white, and
right.
within the white there's right. a little spot of black. So yeah, I guess that's another level of the story. Maybe, you know, the farmer does recognize that he lost his horse, and that is a bad thing
right.
on one level, but
right.
within that there's something good, even
yeah.
if those 8 horses don't come back.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like the farmer has more of a long-term view.
Yeah.
He's not so concerned with the present moment. He's waiting. He's
yeah.
patient.
yeah.
So they say patience is a virtue, so.
But at the same time, you know, we have to live in this world, so we have to be, it seems like you need some balance between having the perspective of the farmer, but also living in reality, which
yeah.
means being the neighbor and celebrating
yeah.
things that, even if there might be some bad that results from them, or some good that results from the tragedy, you know, how do you live in this world if you can't celebrate the good things
yeah,
and cry over the bad things?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to do that. I mean,
how
about
you? Are you more the farmer or the neighbor?
I don't know. I mean, a little of both. I like to think that I can be the farmer in times of good and bad. It's harder actually in times of good, because it's so easy to get caught up in the good times, and because they feel good,
yeah,
and spend money and, you know, like let loose, and even though that could be leading to something quite negative,
yeah.
But I don't know, and like in my life, I haven't had any major setbacks, and I haven't had any like major life-changing good things happen that have led to something bad. So for me, like the whole lesson of blessings in disguise comes in a more minor form on like a daily basis, on the little things in life that we tend to not be so aware of.
Yeah.
Like little things like, okay, you didn't get the job. You got rejected from a job interview. You know,
right.
that you desperately wanted. Like, actually, I read a story about this guy who desperately wanted this job, and he thought he was going to get it. And, because he was, like, fully qualified for it, and it was his dream job. And then he applied for the interview, and they sent him a letter saying that he didn't get the interview, and he was devastated. Like, he couldn't understand, you know, why he didn't get it. And it turned out that the date of his interview was September 11th, 2001, and the place of his interview was in the World Trade Center. So that is kind
of... Oh, so he didn't get the interview.
He didn't get the interview.
He didn't get to the interview stage.
And had he got the interview, he might not be alive today.
Right.
So that's like a twist of fate sort of thing. That's like a fate kind of thing. Now, that's not
yeah.
like a daily thing. That's like a special thing. But like in his case, yeah, that was very extraordinary. But like in most people's cases, we get upset when we don't get the job interview. Or if we do go on the interview and we get turned down, we don't get the job we wanted, but it leads to other opportunities. So the wisdom trick is to know in that moment that when you don't get it, it's like, okay, I didn't get it. Okay, yeah, it doesn't feel good, but hey, this is an opportunity to get something better. Or, you know, like the story of, let's say, someone who has a girlfriend and the girlfriend gets pregnant and the guy doesn't want the child at all and gets really depressed about it and upset about it, but his girlfriend wants the child. And it turns out several years down the road is the best thing that ever happened to him. Like he,
yeah.
you know, realize that, you know, he's a father now and he cares for someone else and it's changed his life. It's made him more responsible and focused on his career. And it's just done so many good things for him. But yet, had he had the choice, he never would have taken that. And it turned out to be something great for him. I mean, there's so many examples in life of things that seem bad, seem negative, but if we, in that moment, if we can understand that this could be an opportunity, it's like, okay, this feels bad. I feel terrible about it, but where's the opportunity in it? There's got to be an opportunity here. And there always is. There must be an opportunity in everything.
Yeah. And another level of that story would be, you know, the opportunity is to train ourselves to accept things as they are and remain balanced and at peace through whatever we experience, no matter how terrible or sad or tragic.
Right.
But you consider yourself a glass half full kind of guy?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm always looking for the positive. Absolutely. Negativity for me is not worth it. It's just not, it's not a place
can
I want to go.
A can do Campbell, right?
Yeah.
That's
Campbell's,
what they call
Campbell's can. That's our motto. That's our family motto. Campbell's can.
Yeah, I like that. Douglas's do.
Douglas's do. There you go. See? It's that simple. It's just a mindset, you know?
Yeah.
So it's no big deal.
I saw some, I've got some vague memory. I don't know if it was a video or something I read of some kid asked if the glass was half full or half empty.
Yeah.
And, he was a little kid.
Yeah. And so he picked it up and smashed it over the guy's head. that'd be like the,
that would be awesome.
That would be the Zen thing to do.
Yeah. And this little psychopath, he took it very literally, and he said, "Well, it's neither. It's 100% full of half water and half oxygen."
Oh, right.
Which sounds like a very Zen thing to say.
Yeah.
You ever bought any lottery tickets?
I have. I've bought lottery tickets before. It's not something that I'm really into, and I rarely do it. I usually do it when I'm back in the States visiting my parents, and I occasionally, just for the fun of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've never won anything.
You've never won anything?
Well, no, with the lottery, like buying lottery tickets. I think kind of it's not something that I would do regularly, no.
Yeah, a lot of people say it's a tax on people that are bad at math.
Yeah, I mean, like I think you're better off in terms of if you want to earn money to create value for society. Create value in society, you will be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
But just strict gambling is not such a good idea. But you know, no risk, no reward, and you never know. I suppose if you bought a lottery ticket, you could suddenly win it. But as the story shows, that may not be such a great thing.
Well, you had a good run. House on the beach, a Lambo, Rolls Royce.
Yeah, but
I bet he had some fun.
It's all temporary.
He I'm sure he regrets it now.
But. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost like he could see what could happen there when he said, like, you know, I'm going to change my life. I'm not going to blow it.
Not going to blow his money, yeah.
Yeah. He ended up doing exactly that.
The irony.
I thought it was interesting that he took his money in installments. They always give you a choice whether you take it in installments over 20 years or you can take it in a lump sum.
Right.
Which would you do?
I really don't know. I think it depends on. It depends on the math. It depends on the numbers. I don't.
Well, you get taxed probably heavier. No, probably not. Probably
I wonder.
In the top tax bracket, no matter what.
So I mean, I'd have to look at the taxes. I'd have to look at I mean, for me, like I'm pretty much in control of myself. So for me, having a large sum of money, if I did have it, I certainly wouldn't blow it. I'm not interested in, heavily interested in material things. I mean, it's nice to be comfortable, but I'm not the kind of person that would just blow it on fancy things. Yeah. So like I could handle a lump sum.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever buy like a Lamborghini.
No, God, no. No. What's the point
I
of
think I
that?
would just feel so
If you want to drive
basic.
a if you want to drive a Lamborghini, just rent it for a day and have fun, and then
Yeah.
you're done. You
Yeah.
don't, I mean, the it's crazy to buy one.
House on the beach. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but you could just rent one.
Yeah.
Just rent one. So, no, I mean, just being comfortable, being with family and friends is pretty much, I'm already wealthy in that sense, so you don't need a
Yeah,
lot.
that was his focus in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then before long, he was just going wild.
But then, I mean, that's a sticky situation. I mean, it's one thing to hang out with family and friends and support them and be kind and loving and generous, but when you put large amounts of money in the picture, things change.
Yeah.
Because then people start, certain people may start manipulating you to get that money.
Yeah.
And then it starts making you paranoid. Like, is this person really, they really like me? They really want to be with me? Or are they just trying to get my money? And it just introduces this very complicated, emotionally sticky kind of situation that is not so desirable. It's kind of, it seems like a blessing, but it could be a curse.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of advisors recommend that people keep it secret, at
Yeah,
least for a while.
absolutely. If I
And
suddenly came into a large amount of money, I wouldn't want anybody to know. That would just,
yeah.
it would just not be good. But I don't have that problem. And probably never will. So.
So yeah, it's just it's amazing the highs and the lows this guy went
Yeah.
from having it all to living in a garage. He was living in a garage.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, talk about a roller coaster ride.
yeah, addicted to heroin, robbing banks.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't made a movie about this guy.
Wow.
Well, it's kind of recent. I think he just got busted within the last couple of years.
Oh, really? So he's now
So yeah,
he's in the slammer now.
he's in prison, and he's got 33 months.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's grateful for it.
Well, I mean, prison could be, yeah, it could be a blessing for certain people who are struggling out in the world. 'Cause it limits you. It limits your choices, and you can focus on getting better,
He
reorienting your
says,
perspectives,
he wants most when he gets out, he's planning to write a book called Lottery to Robbery.
Why doesn't he just write it while he's in there?
Or maybe he wants to publish it. Maybe he is writing
Oh,
it.
okay.
And he wants to make good with his friends and family that maybe he grew apart from.
Right.
And he says he just wants things to be boring.
Yeah.
I think he said something about wanting everything to just be in the middle, no highs, no lows, just normal.
Yeah, fair enough, man. The middle path, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to be the farmer.
The farmer. Why don't you become a farmer, Dan? I could call you Farmer Dan.
I
That
am a
would bring
farmer.
me a great deal of happiness. That would be a big blessing, actually.
I'm tending to my flock. I'm going to be a shepherd.
Shepherd Dan. Will you be my shepherd, Dan?
Sure,
Okay,
sure.
I'll
I'll
follow
lead the
you. I'll
way.
follow you blindly into the abyss. All righty.
Okie dokie, until next time.
Well, yeah, man, keep those all those curses, turn them into blessings.
Yeah.
And then watch out for the blessings, because they may be curses.
That's right. All right. But sometimes curses in disguise. Is that a saying?
Curses.
People say that?
We're saying it now, so it must be a thing.
All right, put it in the books.
All right, man.
All right,
we'll talk to you next time. See ya.